you're hoping that 2023 will be a better year for your finances than last year. But how can you make that happen? Hi, I'm Rob West. You don't have any control over the national economy, but you have a great deal of control over your own economy. Today, I'll share the steps to strengthen your financial condition and give you peace of mind in the bargain. Then it's on to your calls and questions at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is the New Faith in Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, there's no question that the number one thing you should do in 2023 is get out of debt. With today's higher interest rates, you're paying even more to carry balances on credit cards. Use the snowball method to pay off those cards. That is, prioritizing them by smallest to highest balance, paying all the minimums, and using any extra funds to pay more on the smallest balance. When that's paid off, use extra funds to pay off the next smallest balance, and so on. Of course, you'll need to be on a budget to determine how much extra cash you have to pay down your debt. Spending without a budget is like a circus performer working without a net. So if you don't have a budget yet, well, download the Faith Fi app. That's Faith Fi. It's got three different ways to set up your spending plan, and one will be just right for you. Again, you can download it at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Now, another great financial tweak for 2023 is to start or increase your savings. We don't know what lies ahead for the economy, but having an emergency fund will help you prepare for anything. A 2022 survey by YouGov showed that 49% of Americans couldn't cover an unexpected bill of just $400. That was a big jump over the previous year, probably due to higher interest rates and inflation. So it's vital that you start putting away something from every paycheck into a savings account. Start with a goal to save $1,500, then keep going till you have 1 month's living expenses, and don't stop until you have 3 to 6 months living expenses saved up in your emergency fund. That covers your short-term saving needs. But you also have long-term savings needs, and that means retirement investing for the day when age or health prevents you from working. So another great financial tweak for 2023 is to make sure you're at least maxing out any matching contributions in your 401k. If you want to go further, you can contribute up to $22,500 to a 401k or 403b this year. If you have an IRA, either traditional or Roth, you can contribute up to $6,500 in 2023 and an extra $1,000 if you're over age 50. Here's another way to improve your financial condition this year. Improve your skill set by taking web courses. Online learning exploded with COVID, and it remains easier than ever to get professional certifications and specializations, even undergrad and master's degrees without leaving home, and often at a fraction of the cost of in-classroom programs. And if you're looking for a career change, there's an increased demand for tech talent. So schools are offering a lot more options for computer programming and coding classes in particular. So those are the offensive tweaks you can make to improve your finances in 2023. But what about the defensive tweaks? And by that, I mean protecting yourself from fraud and identity theft. One way to do that is by signing up for a transaction or account alerts with your bank and credit card issuer. You should be able to do that online. Once you've logged into your account, look for security settings and select the transaction monitoring option. The system will then text or email you whenever money is taken from the account, and you can take steps to minimize the damage if fraud has occurred. The credit card issuer will investigate any false charges and remove them from your account. You can also put a freeze on your credit at the three credit reporting bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, and that will prevent thieves from setting up new accounts in your name by blocking credit checks. It's free and easy to do, but you'll have to do it at each of the three bureaus individually. While you're doing that, it's also a good idea to get your credit reports. You can do that free at annualcreditreport.com. I would pull them at least every 6 months, if not more often. By the way, when you get those reports, look for any errors or suspicious activity. If you find something that's inaccurate, be sure to dispute it, and they'll have 30 days to resolve it or get it dropped from your report. And those are your financial tweaks for 2023. Your calls are next. 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Perhaps one of the most comforting things you can know about our God is that He is good, perfectly, unchangeably good, so good you can taste it. At least that's how Psalm 34 puts it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Or another psalm, how sweet are your words, speaking of Old Testament law. It's the kind of statement that makes you pause. Is He really that good? There's really only one way to find out, isn't there? Christ's words. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And before you think about cannibalism, remember, He's talking about faith and the promise of forgiveness for anyone who tastes and sees that He is truly good. Spend more time with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
They say actions speak louder than words. Here at the American Family Association, we take that to heart. AFA Action is here to inform and help you get involved in cultural and moral issues. You can also sign up for our AFA Action Alert, which will inform you about these issues every week by email. To sign up and for more information, visit us at afaaction.net.
Why are you still sitting there? If you want change, it starts with you.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Hey, in a new year here, let's talk finances, but let's do it through a biblical lens. We've got some phone lines open, and we'd love to hear from you as you tell us what you're thinking about financially, and together we'll see if we can help you make some decisions and move forward. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by, and we'd love to hear from you. Before we head to the phones, let me just remind you, yes, we have a brand new name in a new year. MoneyWise is now Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. As an organization, we sensed the need to strengthen the way our media ministry expresses the Christian worldview of faith and finances. If our primary goal as believers is to be used by God as faithful, selfless stewards to advance His kingdom? Well, our legacy becomes more than simply being wise with money, and that's where Faith and Finance was born, along with the new organization name, FaithFi. That's Faith, F-I. FaithFi is a one-word integration of faith and finance where these two elements are more closely connected, and the more complete expression of that is really seen in the name of this program, Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. And so our prayer and hope for you is that as you lean on God's wisdom for your daily decisions, you'll begin with your faith, allowing your faith to inform how you handle God's money. And so we're so excited to be able to reposition the organization to serve you in so many new ways in the new year. I hope you'll check out our brand new website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Check it out today and download the FaithFi app in your app store. Just search for FaithFi when you head to your app store today. Again, FaithFi in your app store or faithfi.com on the web. And we're taking your calls today, of course, as we begin a new year and think about how we can handle God's money perhaps even more effectively as faithful stewards, stewards and generous sowers, as we're sowing into God's kingdom and really understanding the great calling that we have as managers of God's money. And to do that, understanding the heart of the master by starting with Scripture with everything that we do. All right, we're going to take your phone calls today, 800-525-7000. We're going to begin in beautiful Montana. Hi, June. Thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hello, Rob. How are you doing today?
I'm doing real well. I'm glad to have you on the program.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
What I was wondering is how can raising interest rate help inflation? I don't understand the two. I mean, how can that help?
Yes. Well,
that's
it's a great
saying.
It's a great question, June, because as we see the inflation where it's at, the Fed has been very focused on raising interest rates. And we know that the central bank, one of their primary jobs is to control inflation, and interest rate hikes are known as the central bank's one major tool to lower inflation. Now, to your question, why is that? Well, it does that by raising the cost of borrowing money, which curbs the demand for goods and services, and that in turn reduces the upward pressure on prices. So they raise the interest rates, that slows the economy because it makes the cost of borrowing more expensive. It just tends to cause folks to spend less. Just overall, there's a slowing of the economy, and that slowing of the economy is what brings inflation back down to the target. The opposite is true as well. When inflation is too low, the Federal Reserve will typically lower interest rates to stimulate the economy and move it up a bit higher. Their target is, of course, 2%. The challenge is, because of a whole host of other factors, inflation just really got away from us here in this country. I mean, at a 40-year high, we're feeling it at the gas pump, at the grocery store, and really throughout our economy. And that's why there's been such a rapid rise in interest rates over a short period of time. And that's why you'll hear the pundits and others talking about this goal of a soft landing. And what they're referring to is, can the Fed engineer a situation where inflation comes down while avoiding a recession? And most folks at this point are saying, no, this year is probably going to involve a recession because they had to raise rates so quickly in order to get inflation come down to anywhere close to where they want it to be. But the bottom line, June, is at the end of the day, those higher interest rates are ultimately going to cause the economy to slow, and that's really the primary weapon against inflation. Does that make sense?
Yes, except that it just don't help me a bit, you know, because
no.
I don't borrow nothing or anything like this. So it's mainly it don't help me at all. And, you know, all the prices still keep going up on everything that I buy, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, food and gas and stuff like this.
Yeah, there's no question about it. The only way that it's going to help you slightly, although it's offset by the higher prices, is with any of your savings. So you're going to, you know, if you have money in a liquid savings account, whereas you might have gotten virtually nothing a little over a year ago, today you could get 3% or more on your savings. You know, CDs are up as well. So some of the bank products are going to pay higher interest rates, but the problem is that the purchasing power of your dollars is still declining, because even at a 3% interest rate, if inflation's at 6 or more, you know, then you're losing money because prices are rising faster than you're growing your assets. So you're right. It doesn't help you a bit, and it's why we need to get inflation under control. It's not good for us, and it has really spiraled on us over the last year. So hopefully what the Fed is doing will bring this back into a situation where prices will begin to rise, you know, at a more reasonable rate, closer to that 2% target. One of the other issues, which gets somewhat complex pretty quickly, is just the Fed's monetary policy. I mean, all of the stimulus that we saw during the pandemic, all of this easy money where basically they're printing money and becoming a buyer, really the world's largest buyer of assets, you know, and investments, has just created a proliferation of dollars that has led to the situation that we're in. So it's a double-edged sword, but at the end of the day, they're trying to get inflation under control. Interest rates are their primary weapon to do it. Hopefully things will get back closer to where they want them to be, and you won't feel it significantly when you head to the store. But unfortunately, it's the situation we're in, and hopefully 2023 will see that resolve in a much better way.
Yeah. Okay. I sure hope so.
All right. June, thank you for calling and for listening today. God bless you. I appreciate you checking in with us. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, 800-525-7000. We look forward to hearing from you today on the program. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here in just a moment. When we come back, more of your questions. Deborah in Arkansas will be coming to you here in just a moment. You know, folks, as you think about starting a new year, one of the things that we often consider is, what do I need to do in my finances? How can I be more effective as a steward of God's money? Well, you know, all of that begins with your spending plan, your ability to control the flow of money in and out and give every dollar a name, make sure that it's going to the places you want it to go and not slipping through your fingers somewhere else. Well, setting up a budget is really the key way to do that. We'd love for you to check out the FaithFi app to perhaps put your budget in place for a new year. Download it today, FaithFi, in your app store. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches. And we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
By now, you know that Sandy Rios has stepped away from the morning show. But don't despair. Sandy is shifting her talents to podcasting. She'll still be a part of AFR. And now, she won't need to wake up hours before the sun to keep us informed and encouraged every day. On the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, you can enjoy the knowledge, insight, and interviews you've always loved on Sandy's morning show. Sandy Rios 24/7, beginning the week of January 9th on AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. You're taking your calls and questions at 800-525-7000. Adam's standing by, and we'd love to hear from you. We'll try to get you on the air quickly. Let's go back to the phones. Arkansas is where Deborah is located. Deborah, Happy New Year. How can I help?
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
My question is, we're retired. We have five grandchildren. We've been helping put them through college, some, not a lot, but some. And three of them have now graduated from college, moving into their young adult years. And we want to have your advice on what ways can we help give to them now as they move into their adult years. We've talked about I-bonds. We don't think that we can contribute to their Roths. Well, I don't even know if they have Roths, but we don't think we can contribute to theirs. But what ways can you advise us to reach out and help them now?
Yes. Well, I think number one, you've got to decide kind of what approach you want to take, and starting with the amount. Is this something you would see Deborah doing systematically? So you might set up a certain amount every month to be deposited equally into a particular account type that we'll talk about in a moment? Or is this a one-time thing you might do, you know, annually? How are you thinking about this?
What we've done with their college is we've given them, each of them, annually. My husband's old enough, we have to take out his required minimum distribution. So we've used some of that required minimum distribution, and we've given it to them annually. And then, like, when they've graduated from college, we've given an additional amount, but it would be an annual amount is what we're thinking right now.
Okay. And do you want to try to earmark it for, let's say, retirement to help them get a jump start on long-term savings? Or would you like it to be more readily available if, let's say, they wanted to use it, you know, for a first, last, and security on an apartment or to buy a car, something like that?
Right. And we've talked about both. That's why we were thinking, well, the Roth. Yeah. Which you'll advise us we can or can't. We don't think we can, but
well, let's talk about that. You absolutely can contribute to someone else's IRA. So it has to be opened in their names prior to the age of majority, which would typically be 18 in most states. You would open a custodial Roth IRA, so it would be in the child's name, and then they would have full control over it at the age of majority. Once they're beyond that age, then they would just open their own Roth IRA, and anyone can contribute to that IRA as long as they have earned income. So it would be up to the annual limit for the IRA contributions, which this year it went up. So in 2023, tax year 2023, $6,500 is the limit per person. And as long as they have at least $6,500 in earned income, then anyone can make that contribution to their Roth IRA. And the great part about it is if you you get them started on that early, and then perhaps they pick that up, you know, in the future and follow your lead to continue to do that. If they were to just, you know, make those contributions each year up to the maximum, you know, and this is going to compound over 40 years, let's say, tax-free or more, maybe 45 years, you know, they would have a, you know, a ton of money put aside for retirement. So this would be, I think, a great idea for them. Now, they can pull it out. The original contributions can come out because those were put in after tax. They just certainly wouldn't be able to touch, you know, any of the gains. And I would encourage them not to touch any of it because, again, the real beauty of the Roth, as you probably know, Deborah, is that tax-free compounded growth is very powerful over time.
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah, well, so I think
they just have to open it in their name, and then we can contribute it. So the taxes would come out of our pocket, so to speak,
right,
when we give them or contribute the money to their Roth.
Yeah, I think that's right. So I'd do a couple of things. I might, you know, you and your husband sit down and just say, what is our approach to this? You know, how much do we have available? Is this something we want to take a look at each year and say, okay, this year we've got X amount. Let's divide it however many ways among the grandchildren. And then do you want any portion of it more readily available? So you could put, let's say, half of it in the Roth. You could give half of it each year, you know, just in a gift that they could use for something more immediate. Or you could say, listen, you take care of the more immediate things. We want to help you get a jump start for the longer term, and so you put 100% into the Roth. You'd want to help do some education with them along that line just so they understand what you're doing. But I think the second piece of this is real clear communication. I'd sit down with each of them, have a conversation as to why you're doing this, what your heart is behind it, just the importance of good stewardship and long-term savings, why you're making the investment, and, you know, helping them understand kind of the rationale behind it. And perhaps what I can do to help with that, Deborah, is we'll send you a copy of the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, one for each of your grandchildren, so that when you have that conversation, you give them the book as a gift and ask them to read the book as a part of their end of the bargain, so to speak. How does that sound?
That's a great idea. We've used SMY for years. That's
oh,
one
good.
Of the reasons we're financially where we are.
Okay.
Because
great.
We've used them for years.
Yeah.
Is the, as far as if we split the pool and give them X amount for the Roth and X amount for, are the I bonds a good? Can we buy an I bond in their name and give it to them?
Yeah, it would be the same thing. Absolutely. An account could be set up and, you know, you could transfer the funds in to the I bond, and, you know, they wouldn't be able to touch it for a year, and then they'd be able to redeem it at that point after a year, and then the interest would be credited minus 3 months worth of interest as a small penalty for redeeming it in less than 5 years. But yes, the same holds true. You could open those accounts, or they could, and you could make that contribution. So I think you all just need to think through kind of your approach, long term versus short term, and then sit down and communicate it to them so they know exactly what's being done. How many grandchildren do you have?
We have 5 grandchildren, and 3 have graduated from college. 2
great.
Are still in college, so we're helping. Now it'll go to their college.
Awesome. All right, you stay on the line. We'll get your information. I'll send you 5 copies of the Sound Mind Investing Handbook. God bless you, Deborah. Thank you for calling today. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Today's issues.
Hey, Fred, real quick, we got a service we want our listeners to be aware of that's free.
Yeah, in the day and age when most of the mainstream media, I like to say, are nothing more than lapdogs for the far left, I am so glad that American Family News is there, and that's our website, afn.net. We also offer a daily briefing with the top stories of the day from American Family News.
Today's issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
At Faith and Finance, we're on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word. We're working to meet people right where they are through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from this program, would you consider becoming a monthly Faith and Finance patron? Check out all of the benefits of a Faith and Finance patron's membership at faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today in a new year on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. That's right, a brand new name for our program. Same content, same host. I haven't gone anywhere. Same biblical financial advice, but just a new name that more accurately, we believe, expresses the heart behind the ministry here at Faith and Finance. It's about starting with our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, starting with our faith and allowing that to inform the financial decisions that we're making each day by going back to God's Word, the counsel of Scripture, as really our source to make all good financial decisions. We'd love to hear from you today. We've got some phone lines open, 800-525-7000. Whatever you're thinking about as you start a new year, financially speaking, we'd love to tackle it with you. Again, 800-525-7000. By the way, we do have a brand new website as well. It just launched yesterday. We'd love for you to check it out. You'll find it at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And the brand new FaithFi app is in your app store. You can go get it today. By the way, while you're on the site, feel free to jump into the community where folks every day are posting questions and others on their stewardship journey are responding and answering those questions, helping folks to really find God's heart as it relates to their financial decisions each day. So when you go to faithfi.com, just click the community tab and you'll see all the questions that have been posted. Fernando, for instance, yesterday was just asking about purchasing his family home and wondering why he should put down 20% versus 5%. And then some folks jumped in there and said, let me explain this to you and help you make this decision. Well, that's the kind of thing that's going on in the FaithFi community. Again, you'll find it in the app and on the website at faithfi.com. By the way, you can also submit a question to be read on the air while you're there. In fact, let's take one of those. Sheila writes to us and says, I want to get my bills under control this year, Rob. Should I consolidate my credit cards using a signature loan? That might lower my payments so I'd have more money to pay for my utilities. And I would just say, Sheila, as attractive as that might be to free up a few more dollars a month, consolidation loans are dangerous. I'd rather you do one of two things. If you have less than $4,000 in credit card debt, I'd snowball it. That is, leave it right there where it is and line the credit cards up smallest to largest balance. Make sure you're making the minimum on all of them, but then take whatever you have extra left over each month, and you may need to do some trimming in that budget to have something left over. Well, apply that to the smallest balance. Let's say it's $300 or $400 and you find $100 a month you can send beyond all the minimums. Well, in 4 months' time, that one will be gone. You rip it up, celebrate, and then move on to the next one. And we find, studies have found, that that really encouragement, that boost psychologically of knowing that, yeah, I've done it. I've paid off one of these and I'm moving right down the line. I'm making progress. Well, that's enough incentive to keep going. And the key is whatever is going to keep you progressing is really the most effective way. That's why the snowball method has been proven to be so effective over time. Now, if, Sheila, you have more than $4,000 in credit card debt, my experience is that a debt management program is going to be most effective. This is where our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org can help. They'll help you get the interest rates down, leaving those credit card balances right where they are with the current creditors. But now you'll pay one monthly payment through them, and the combination of that level payment plus the lower interest rates is going to allow you to pay off that credit card debt 80% faster. So just head to ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They've helped hundreds and hundreds of our faith and finance listeners, and I know they'd be delighted to help you. Sheila, thank you for writing to us today. By the way, if you have a question, you can submit it through our website at faithfi.com or write to us at questions@faithfi.com and we'll see if we can get that on the air. All right, back to the phones we go. 800-525-7000 to Brad in Texas. Hey, Brad, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing great. We appreciate you calling today.
Are you there?
Yes, sir. How can I help you?
Okay. I just wanted to maybe for your listeners, in the way that I understand it, to make sure that I'm correct. I believe I am, but they've upped the standard deduction now for individuals. I believe it's $12,000 or $12,500 each. So if you're filing together, it could be up to $24,000 or $25,000. I'm not sure what the number is. But the way I understand it, as far as giving is concerned, you can write off your giving to these churches that are listed as 501c3s, but unless the culmination of all your property interest along with that giving exceeds that standard deduction amount, you're not going to be able to write it off. So it's what I've always told people about giving, that you should just give from your heart and don't expect it back from the government, because right now they've got it set so it's pretty hard to hit that number.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Brad. For 2022, the standard deduction is $12,950 for individuals, married individuals filing separately, or for single taxpayers. Of course, it's higher than that for married couples. But yes, unless you hit that standard deduction through, as you said, charitable contributions, you know, real estate tax, personal property tax, deductible non-business taxes, itemized deductions, you know, then you are not going to itemize, and therefore you're going to claim the standard deduction since it's higher. And it was when it was raised significantly under the Trump administration, we find that 90% of Americans or taxpayers take the standard deduction now on average, just because it is considerably higher and most folks don't hit it. If you go above the standard deduction with all of your itemized deductions, then of course you would claim those because you would get additional credit for that. But I think to your point, given the fact that the standard deduction is quite a bit higher than it's been in the past, and the fact that most folks don't itemize is not, shouldn't be, as believers, any reason not to give, because we don't give for the tax deduction, although I don't think there's any reason to take it if we can get it. Let's not pay any more tax than we're obligated to. But at the same time, our generosity should flow as an act of worship in response to a generous God, that we want to be a part of his activity through our giving, starting with our local church and then, you know, giving well beyond that. So I think your point is well taken. Yes, that's an accurate description of the standard deduction. And I would also concur that, you know, the fact that you're taking the the standard deduction hopefully should have no bearing on what the Lord has called you to give, either systematically, through your tithe, or even beyond that, more sacrificially.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Brad. We appreciate you checking in with us today, sir. Thanks for raising that point. You know, folks, as we think about this new year, let me throw one other idea out to build on what Brad was saying. You know, when we look at the Council of Scripture, we see that we should be generous. You know, we were created in the image of the ultimate giver. I like to say we're most like him when we're giving. Think about this. For God so loved the world, he gave, right? He gave us his son. We have an abundance before the first dollar even comes our way. And so our response to that should be holding what we have loosely, because when we give, we're also saying, God, I trust you. If you're my provider and I believe that you are, then I can give freely because I don't have to worry about where my next dollar is going to come from. I can trust you, Lord, and therefore I want to give. But there's also incredible joy that comes from that. So think about increasing your giving this year, perhaps even 1% over last year. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Mom is a face washer, a coupon clipper, and a listening ear. She's a diaper changer, a laundry folder, and a mender of hearts. She's a master juggler of the jobs of the day. She's simply incredible and incredibly busy. At 1 Million Moms, we understand the hurried pace of the average mom. That's why we've made it so easy for you to take a stand against the trash that's in today's media. Visit 1millionmoms.com.
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
What needs to be told to these black men is get a job, stop fathering children that you can't take care of, stop hanging out in the streets, and stop acting like the cops are your enemy anytime you interact with them, particularly when you're interacting with them in a situation where you know they've come expecting potential trouble because of the circumstances you've allowed yourself to be in. How about trying that?
Weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
45,000. That's how many times Faith and Finance referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. That's right, a brand new name here in a new year. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. On our final segment today, we'd love to hear from you with whatever you're thinking about. By the way, just before the break, we were talking to Brad about the standard deduction, and I was saying 90% of taxpayers are now taking the standard deduction because it's quite a bit higher than it's been in the past, and therefore most itemized deductions don't reach that threshold. I will tell you, there are a ton of items, if you will, that go into that itemized deduction. There's hundreds of deductions and credits out there, and so perhaps you ought to take another look at it. You know, this is a great time of year as you prepare for your paying your 2022 taxes between now and April 18th this year. For you to get organized, consider using a tax preparer if perhaps you haven't in the past, but also make sure you don't cross that standard deduction threshold. Not only can you deduct things such as medical expenses and property taxes and charitable contributions and mortgage interest. There's also a number of tax credits out there, the child tax credit, the lifetime learning credit. You can deduct student loan interest. There's an adoption credit. Of course, you know, deduction for state and local taxes, mortgage interest, IRA contributions. You know, there's a whole host of deductions and credits out there that you should be looking at to make sure that you're not paying $1 more than is asked of you with regard to your taxes. Now, we should pay our taxes. In fact, our ability to pay taxes is symptomatic of God's provision. So I would even say we should do that joyfully. But that doesn't mean we should pay anything more than we're asked to. So make sure you're well organized, prepared, and ready to file your 2022 taxes here in a timely fashion, because you're going to start getting some paperwork in the mail and you want to organize that as it comes in. All right, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'll be taking your questions here with our final segment in just a moment. But first, a quick email from Linda. She writes to us here at Faith and Finance. My sister is an authorized user on my credit card. She doesn't have any bills in her name. Can being on my account help her raise her credit score? And will it affect me negatively if she has bad credit? That's a great question, Linda. Being an authorized user on your card will help to raise your sister's credit score if, and this is a big one, you pay your bills on time, because that good credit history, if you're an on-time payer, will not only hit your credit report, it'll pass to hers as well. The only way she can hurt your credit score is if she were to misuse your account and you're unable to cover her charges. So one way around that would be you add her as an authorized user, but she doesn't actually get access to the account. You don't give her one of the credit cards. She's not using it, and therefore she's just inheriting your good credit. But let me just go back to my original point. If you have a missed payment, that missed payment will pass to her as well, which could negatively affect her. So you just need to make sure, if you're going to add her as an authorized user, you are paying on a timely fashion. If the goal of you doing that is only to improve her credit, you wouldn't want to inadvertently somehow punish her by having negative credit passing to her file. Linda, thank you for writing to us today. If you have a question, send it along. Questions@faithfi.com. All right, here in our final segment today, let's take as many questions as we can as we press toward the end of the broadcast. Let's head to Houston, Texas. Hey, Marcus, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hello. Hey, I had a question. My wife opened up a yoga franchise. She invested about $500,000 in it in 2022. And I'm wondering, we didn't really make any money that year. We started kind of late. What's the best way to take advantage of that loan and not having to pay that many taxes on it?
Yeah. So did you have actually a loss for the business, or are you just trying to deduct the interest?
Just trying to deduct the interest.
Okay. Yeah. And what type of business is it that you set up?
The fitness yoga.
Right. But what is the tax structure on it?
Is it an S-Corp? S-Corp.
An S-Corp. Okay. Yeah. So everything is going to flow to you. And in terms of with an S-Corp, everything, you know, flows through to the individual. And so generally for loan interest to be deductible, the loan has to either purchase assets for the business or to pay for a business expense. You know, if it's used for non-business purposes, which it doesn't sound like yours was, then the amount of the deductible interest from the loan has to be reduced proportionately. But you should be able to take full advantage of that. Do you all have a tax preparer?
No, we're looking for one.
Okay. Yeah, this would be the year to have one, Marcus, because as you got this business started now, this is going to complicate. It's not a bad thing. It's just going to make your taxes a bit more complicated. And you're going to want to make sure that you take full advantage of you know, whatever is coming your way, including the ability to deduct the interest paid or accrued within a tax year for a debt against the earnings that you had. And so making sure those books are set up properly so you have good separation between your personal finances and your business account so that, you know, if the IRS were to challenge anything, you can show clearly what was for the business and what was personal, because when they become mixed, that creates challenges in terms of you documenting actually the business activities, which to your point, if you didn't really make any money this year, you want to properly reflect that so you're not paying any taxes on that income that was come in that then went back out the door through business expenses, servicing the debt, you know, all these other things. And so you may actually show that you were break even. You may even have a slight loss when it's all put together. But having a tax preparer that can actually help you get those books set up and understand, you know, how you should approach those business activities so that you're not paying tax on anything that you shouldn't, I think is really clear. So that would be my next step, is to go ahead and find that CPA or accountant that you're going to use to not only help you get all that set up, but also prepare that tax return for you personally that's now going to include your subchapter S business activities. Does that make sense?
Makes 100% sense. Hey, Happy New Year, and thanks.
All right. Thanks, Marcus. Happy New Year to you, my friend. We appreciate your call today. God bless you. To Columbus, Ohio. Hey, Robert, thank you for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much. I have a question with regards to an annuity that we purchased, my wife, using her IRA money. It has done substantially well over the years we've had it. It's now coming up on the 15th year before long, and it will be an opportunity to withdraw all the funds without any penalty. And my concern is, while it has always done well in the past, recently, as of this last year, the return is paltry, at least. Now, the situation is, with the investment that we made when we purchased this, any gains we make are attributed to the account, but any losses that occur in the market, I don't get charged that. So it's been kind of a plus-plus arrangement until recently. Now that we can withdraw the money out of the account without a penalty from the insurance company, I'm interested to know what direction should we go with that.
Yeah.
My wife is 80 and I'm 85.
Yeah. Very good. Are you needing to pull a portion of this to live on each month moving forward, or are you allowed? Can it continue to grow?
We have substantial income to manage ourselves with no problem.
Okay, great. And so one option would be to take this qualified annuity and roll it back into an IRA and then have it managed there. You could either do that yourself or you could hire an advisor to do that. But I think it's a great opportunity. It's served you well. It's created this floor for the downside protection on the market action. You've participated in the upside. Perhaps it's not as attractive today, but you're well beyond those periods where you've got the surrender charges. If you were to pull it all out and this was all put in pre-tax, then all of the money withdrawn from that qualified annuity is going to be taxed as regular income. So I think at this point, perhaps you roll it to the IRA, and then you decide how conservative you want to be. Does it go into CDs with a CD ladder? Does it get invested in high yield corporate or government bonds, especially as we get to the top end of the raising of the interest rates later this year, where you're going to get some higher yields, but the bond prices won't be falling because rates won't be continuing to rise. You could also do your charitable giving out of it through a qualified charitable distribution, which will also satisfy your required minimums each year. So that, you know, that's a really effective tool that you can add to this. And you can be as conservative or aggressive as you want with regard to the investment mix. And I think that's where hiring an advisor at this point to help you build that portfolio and manage it and oversee it is going to make a lot of sense. Is that helpful, Robert?
Yeah, for sure. And when you say we should look for an advisor, I have an accountant that I've been working with for the last 15 years, but I think probably another person might be a little better for us at this time.
I think so. You really want an investment advisor, and we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. It's the gold standard designation for biblically wise financial advice at a professional level, and there's a bunch of them in Columbus that are just phenomenal men and women. So I'd head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and click Find a CKA. I'd interview two or three and find the one that's the best fit. Sounds like you're in great shape here, Robert. God bless you, my friend, and thanks for calling today. Tina, hang on the line. We'll get your number and see if we can get you on first tomorrow. I'm sorry we didn't get you on the program today. Folks, thanks for being along with us. I'm grateful for my team today. Robert Sutherland helping me with great research. Grateful for Adam Suddeth handling our phones today. And Mr. Devin Patrick, our producer and engineer. Delighted to have you with us. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Come back and join us tomorrow for another edition of Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.